Now, Tommy, the Elks get it done. I'm not going to lie. When they the first kickoff, the guy ran it back all a good distance. Then there's interception. That was all before I even had my first rum and coke. I was a little bit nervous, but they found a way. What does this mean, win for the team? Moving forward.
Hey, Strutty, it was a sigh of relief, I think. Probably you look at the offense and you go, okay, you've got good veteran players that have been in the league for a while. They showed up yesterday. Greg Ellingson looked good, almost 150 yards in the air. Trevor Harris was spotting guys. He was going downfield. In the red zone, they converted, and they converted early. They capped off a 108-yard drive. I know it was aided by a couple of BC penalties, but you're going to take those every day, all day, every day, right? And then on top of that, the defense brought the pressure to Michael Riley, and they made some plays too. And the secondary, I thought, was good at getting on balls quickly. There was a couple penalties there. Aaron Grimes had a solid night. So it was one of those nights where it was going to be a tough test. BC was coming off a big win over Calgary last week. Michael Riley was looking good. And, heading into it, there's some thought there that maybe they would fall to 0-3, and they showed up with a heck of a game. So encouraging, Struds. And I think that's what you're going to need going into next week, and then hopefully you can build up a little more momentum going into Labor Day and the Classic and the rematch, of course. And on the flip side, Strutty, you're hoping that the Alouettes take care of business in Calgary this evening. And then on top of that, the Stamps get Winnipeg next week, and there's the potential, it might not happen, that Calgary rolls into the Labor Day Classic 0-4. That would be something, I'm telling you. We could see some different scenarios play out, but if they wind up 0-4 going into that Labor Day Classic, yikes, look out.
Did you expect James Wilder Jr. to be as productive as he has been thus far this season?
Glad you brought him up. Yes. Because he's been good in his time in the CFL, and he looks like a veteran in great shape, obviously, has a ton of confidence, making some great plays yesterday. There was one little one where it looked like he was cutting to the left, and there was no hole for him, and he, quick stutter step and a break in pace, and he finds a hole through the right and turns it into a huge gain. It was those little plays like that seemed small but turned into big gains that these guys who've been around the league for a long time are expected to pull off, and they were doing it last night. So, yeah, James Wilder Jr. has had a really solid season. That's good to see. Even on that block where he flipped the guy about 8 feet in the air, that was a good sign too, picking up the block, giving his QB some time. All around, I think overall, it was a pretty good performance from the Elks. We saw their special teams coordinator was let go today. That's the one area where you look at and say, it could probably be better. Kick return coverage, punt return coverage, not great. And Terry Williams hasn't been able to really break through on any kick returns either.
How impressed were you with the front four and the defensive side of the ball for the Elks last night?
Really good. Obviously, Ceresna was good. They're getting to Michael Riley, creating pressure. And that was without Kwaku Boateng. And not only were they creating pressure, Struts, but when they did get to him, they were smacking him pretty hard. And they were letting him know that they were there. And it wasn't just in one quarter. It wasn't in just the first half. They did it pretty much throughout the game. And they took advantage of the fact that BC lost Joel Figueroa early in the game. And that's what you like to see. So, again, the only facet that really you look at last night and go, boy, that could use some work with special teams. Otherwise, defense, offense, secondary, front lines, all pretty darn good, seriously.
Talking with Tom Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles. Tommy, Manny Pacquiao has been a great fighter for so long. He's got one more fight going on, but, can you believe it? He's at 40 still going after and the longest the oldest welterweight champ ever.
Interesting. Good on him. He fights tomorrow. And it's a bit of a surprise, certainly, because I know some boxers still like to get in the ring when they're older, into their late 30s, early 40s. And if he's in great shape and he feels good and his trainers think he can do it this weekend, great, fantastic. But here's the crazy thing, Struds, is he's in office in the Philippines and he's running for president. Or he's talking about running for president. Like, you're like, wow, this is insane. So, but not really insane in a good way, because he's obviously a huge figure there. He's a massive name in sports, obviously a king in boxing. And now, you know, he's in politics and he might be running for president. And I know he isn't tipping his hat just yet as to if he's going to do it. But as a senator right now, still boxing in his 40s and eyeing up a potential run for president. And all of this while I know he sent the U.S. a letter asking for some vaccines for his country and people back home, and reading articles about him doing that, saying that that's a presidential move and that's the kind of leadership that they like. It helps that he's friendly, helps that he is a recognizable name across the globe in the world of boxing and sport. And if he really wants to do good for his country, you know, it seems like the type of person, at least reading for him, hearing about him throughout the years, that he might be the kind of guy that would be willing to accept a huge challenge like that and learn and grow and do what he can to help his people and his country.
Aaron Rodgers is, you know, quite a guy. He's a pretty good quarterback. Some would say top 10 in the NFL right now. You know, some would say maybe a little higher. But he also loves Jeopardy. So what's going on here? Is there an opportunity for him to be both a good quarterback and a Jeopardy host?
Well, he did it already, right? He had a guest spot on Jeopardy, and they recorded those aired, I think, a month ago. And now all of a sudden, the job as host of Jeopardy is up for grabs again. Just after, I think it was last week, they announced that their new host would be taking over. And one of them was Blossom, the lady that played, I think her name is Miam Balik, who played Blossom. And she was also in Big Bang Theory. I never watched that show. But the other host was supposed to be Mike Richards, who already works on this show. And then a bunch of stuff came up where Richards is going to have to step down before even taking over. And they asked Aaron Rodgers if he'd be interested in the job. And he's like, yeah, if they would have offered it to me, I would have taken it and found a way to make it work with football and hosting and recording, because those are all pre-taped, right? So if they could make the schedule work, he was smart. He was good. He didn't crack under the pressure of the bright lights. And he showed some charisma as well. And it just goes to show you, like, the type of guy he is. I know, you know, he's not what's the best way to describe him? It's not like he's the squeakiest clean guy in the world. I mean, he's had some issues. The stuff about his brother, who I think was on a reality show a while ago, there's some issues there and all that. But he seems like a legit dude, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. And he had fun with Jeopardy, and certainly no drama like this Mike Richards guy, who, when they, you know, did a background check on him, they found some stuff where they said, dude, this doesn't look good. We can't have you as the host. So he stepped down. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, reigning MVP, obviously having a spat with the Green Bay Packers, found a way to make it work for this season. But potentially, maybe they leave that seat open for him. I don't know. I think that'd be pretty neat, to be honest with you.
Do you think they could find a way to do it where he could do both gigs? There's no way he could tape any during the football season, could he?
I don't think so. Unless there's just on his day off, they fly him in, fly him out. But that'd be a lot, man. And you rattle off, what, like 5 episodes in one day, and you do that all season long, trying to play a 17-game season. That would be pretty darn tough. Maybe you go in at the bye week. But no, I think there'd be ways around it where you basically stack up a bunch of recordings and pre-tapes during the off season, and then you let him go to training camp, play the season, and you roll those out. And then if you can get him in here and there to do some stuff, that's how you do it. But it's interesting to see that he would still be open to it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really cool to see it. There's no doubt. But I just don't see how he could do both. He'd have to tape a ton in the off season.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'd have to be in 5. You know, you think about how, I don't know how many new episodes there are, you know, yearly. I'm guessing there are some that are on taped. Like, as far as, like, you know, like, there's maybe, I don't know, I'll call it 35 weeks of new ones, right? Then the rest are all pre-taped, but that's a ton of content. I just don't see how you can do that and continue to train. And, I mean, I think the Jeopardy gig or something like that will always be there for him. There's no way he's leaving the NFL for that, at least unless he's tired of football, which I guess is a chance.
Right. Although he's, I mean, reigning MVP, so he's still at the top of his game. He wants to win another Super Bowl. But here's the funny thing, Struds. My parents, my dad grew up loving Price is Right. And, you know, it's a great show. Bob Barker was always excellent. Oh, Drew Carey took over. They went for his, I think, birthday or their anniversary, something like that, down to L.A. 2 years ago for a taping of The Price is Right. I think they stayed for two or three episodes. And they were going to go 2 days back-to-back, but they were so tired by the end of the first day that they said, no, we're not going to go back the next day. It was a cool enough experience. Got to see it behind the scenes. And the day they were taping, it was in the spring. So this had to have been around their anniversary. It was in April. And the show that, or the shows that they were there for the recordings did not air till I think, late June or July, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty late. I'll tell you what, if I ever get offered the opportunity to go try out to be the host of Price is Right, I'll run down there. That's my dream job, be the host of the
Come on down,
right?
Strutty. Come
I'd
on
love
down.
To do it. I would love to do that show. I think it'd be so much fun interacting with people and, like, you know, guessing the prizes. Like, I love – that was my grandpa's favorite show, and it's up there with one of my favorite prizing games for sure. No doubt.
Same here. Same
I love
here.
It. All right, buddy. Have yourself a great weekend. And I know you're going to be listening at 3 o'clock when we roll out that top five. We've put together. And
yes.
People can vote on what will be the we're going to tweet at the Oilers for their goal song this upcoming season.
I love it. Hey, are you bringing back DJ Suitcase for this?
No. He's a one-time thing. And I had a lot of help from Harmon B, spinning the ones and twos, as they call it. And so I'm out.
Yes.
I'm out of that business. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Strutty. Take care, buddy.